the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So some of you may know, and some of you may not know, that a group of us from Transfiguration just about a week ago got back from a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. And we stayed in Jerusalem for 17 days and traveled from there to different regions around the nation that were places where Jesus walked. And I give you that as a preface to warn you that, unfortunately, that's all you're ever going to hear me talk about ever again. You're laughing. It's not a joke. That's all I know how to talk about. So just gird your loins anytime you see me come up to the pulpit. But so a couple of weeks ago, as the pilgrimage was winding down, I had a free Sunday afternoon right before the Tuesday that we flew back. And a new priest friend of mine from Virginia and I decided to wander through the old city and get our last few souvenirs for our family and our friends. And we ended up on the patio of the Austrian Hospice, which is a hotel that is so famous for its view of Jerusalem that it costs 5 shekels to go to the top floor. And naturally, as we were winding down from our trip, our conversation wandered to all the things that sat waiting for us in our homes and on our desks. But most specifically, as priests, we thought about Pentecost. And I mused about how, if there was ever a time that I could actually not know I was supposed to preach and just wander in and preach something out of my head that wasn't heresy, it would be Pentecost Sunday after a trip to the Holy Land. Because the Holy Land is its own Pentecost experience. You see interstate signs in 3 different languages and graffiti from 3 different religions everywhere you go. My friend brought up the story of the Tower of Babel and its relationship to Pentecost. And we talked about the scattering of languages for the sake of pride and how they are then brought into humility and understanding on Pentecost. And I thought about the political and social turmoil I had witnessed in only 17 days of traveling through that country. 3 dominant religions and fighting factions within each and every one of them. Surface-level laws, but underground implementation. I reflected on the truth that I had heard constantly repeated throughout the trip. Not all people of any one faith are bad people. There are bad and good people within each of them, because that's just what it means to be a human, no matter what you believe. Israel is a beautiful place, and it is one of the most beautiful places I have ever seen. It is also the most complex place I have ever visited. Just to give you a snapshot of what it is like there, in the short time we were there, we faced all of the following events: President Trump's visit, the beginning of Ramadan, the 50th anniversary of Jerusalem Day, which resulted in thousands of Jewish people flooding Jerusalem where we were staying to set up a block party on the Western Wall, and a Palestinian hunger strike in the prisons that resulted in Palestinians all over the country going on strike and shutting down their businesses for a few days in solidarity. It was an intense time to be there. But what I realized is that it is always an intense time to be there. But I also realized that we miss something if we think that the challenges in Israel are entirely unlike the challenges we face here. It isn't that those people over there need peace. It is that we as a human race desperately need the peace of God. We can sometimes be a people who build towers, echo chambers, so that we can surround ourselves with people who agree with us. We speak in disparate tongues, not taking the time to interpret one another's experience and truth. And today, in the midst of that, we celebrate Trinity Sunday. It's the Sunday when we focus our attention toward the confusing mystery that God could be one God, yet referred to as having what we call 3 persons. Sometimes they're called Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And other times, the persons of God take on different names. We believe these persons of God are revealed to us through Scripture, and yet we believe that though God is complex and multidimensional, That doesn't make God any less unified or any less one. And as I looked at the lectionary readings, it obviously struck me, and it likely struck you, that we heard a whole chapter and then a few verses from Genesis. And I wondered if that told us something not just about a person of the Trinity, but about all of the Trinity. I wonder if the dynamic nature of God is like Pentecost, different languages, but united to sing as one. I wondered if the nature of God and all the ways that God reveals God's oneself is creative. The story of creation covers a vast world of both heavens and earth. There was a formless void and darkness covered the face of the deep. And God saw fitting to give form and to give light. And sometimes I like to imagine God as being like a chalice. And the waters that fill the chalice, when given their form, take the form of love. However, the love of God is so great that it cannot even be contained within the vastness of God. And so it spills over. The chalice is flooded, and as each drop hits the surface of time, all that we know is created. Day and night, sky and earth, the sun and moon, the planets and their courses, all of them creatures, parts of creation, little inklings of God given to us from God. And I wonder if that godly force that covers the face of the deep to create out of it all that we know, I wonder if that eternal and creative love that can only come from God, I wonder if that then becomes a way for us to look for God in the world around us. I wonder if, when we seek to find God in the world around us, we should begin by looking for creation, especially when we are usually bombarded by destruction. If the nature of God's unity is to be creative, then we can respond to the disunity of our own minds, culture, and world through creativity. When we face schism, whether it be in our own hearts, our relationships, our workplaces, we are given the opportunity to choose creation over destruction. We can create new ways for communication. We can ask God to transform a heart of stone into a heart of grace. We can be reconciled to those we thought we'd never speak to again. We can rummage through the debris of a world that is inclined to throw away rather than salvage. And we might be surprised by what we find in the rubble. If God's nature is three in one, if God's nature is to create and not destroy, then we are shown through the power of God that unity and peace is possible. Not because we can create unity and peace ourselves, but because unity and peace have already been shown to us within God. The answer to our confusion and disparate tongues isn't power. It isn't conquest. It's Trinity. It is to be in all our many persons, also one. We can be united, different members as one body, through being such agents of creation in our world that we don't just help others live. We help others thrive. The celebration of Pentecost is a celebration of a hope that divisions may be overtaken by holy unity. And Trinity Sunday is the celebration of the fact that we know that is possible. Because what happens within God inevitably spills over into this world. And yes, it loses something on the way down. We know it does if we look around. But the creative blood of God that courses through the veins of this world never loses its godliness, which means that godliness and peace is here. We just have to look for it. We have to set our eyes to creation, not destruction, because where the world is being created and where the world is being recreated, that is where God is at work. So then, the unity and peace of this world is possible, because unity and peace are within God. And that is the image we are made in. Amen.